Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
It's such an honor to be with you today, and I have the privilege of launching our new series called Rising. And we're going to take this series right into Easter Sunday, which is going to be unbelievable this year. It's going to be amazing, and I have too many secrets. I can't tell you everything right now, but we're looking forward to that. But until then, this series is going to cover faith rising, devotion, community, favor, evangelism, and it is our prophetic declaration that we are rising up in the newness of life, and we are overcomers, and we're true disciplined followers of Jesus. We're fighting back through the oppression, depression, recession, whatever kind of shun you have going on. We are fighting back and pushing back and truly rising up. I wrote something real quickly that I'm going to just read, that Jesus himself, as you know, historically, through 500 eyewitnesses who saw this, he rose from the dead. He bodily rose from the dead. That is the capstone of our very faith. And because Jesus rose up, which is a historical reality, we too know that through the word of God that we also will rise up with him, which is a great honor and a pleasure and a privilege that God raises us up with his son. And so there are many scriptures that I found through this, about 30 scriptures, but I'm just going to give you just a little bit of a few verses, just the key moments there where God talks about us rising. That at Romans 6:4, as Christ was raised from the dead, we too are raised up as well in the newness of life. Isaiah 60, verse 3, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Malachi 4:2, for those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Ephesians 5:14 says, awaken, you sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Micah 7:8, one of my favorites, though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a righteous person falls seven times, and he or she rises again, but the wicked stumble into calamity. And finally, Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This theme of rising is not dependent on your success, your status, or your situation. It's all rooted and anchored into what Jesus Christ, our triumphant King and Savior, accomplished for us. And we have the privilege of walking with the Lord and rising up with Him. This is our declaration today, that we too shall rise. We're going to rise up through everything that we faced, all the stuff that we've gone through. And today, it's my pleasure to speak to you about faith rising. Faith is not a doctrinal statement. That's not what we're talking about today. That would be the faith, the Christian faith. We're talking about a gift that has been given to you that is not hope, it's not inspiration, it's not positive thinking, it's not optimism. Faith is something that God gives to us. I believe the best definition I know is right from the Bible, Hebrews 11:1. It says that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that's what makes faith faith, is you don't see it. You don't know even those moments what it's going to look like. But we do know that we have the promise of God. Faith for me is a belief in action. And so I want to give you a few points about faith, and I hope that this practical message is going to help you to walk by faith and not just by your sight, but walk by faith. God has that for all of us. He has the gift of faith for us. And the first point is very simple, but God wants you to know that you already have faith. Romans 12, verse 3 says that God has given us a measure of faith already. How do we know that we have faith? Because God says so. He tells us so. The very fact that you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior is an evidence that faith is at work in your life. And we have this measure of faith. We all have a measure of faith. And we don't need to compare ourselves to someone who has giant faith or mountain-moving faith or epic faith. We don't have to ever compare ourselves with any of that. We just need to know right now that we have faith that God has given us. And the good news about it is this faith can get stronger and stronger. Now, we also know that without faith, we can't please God. The very fact that you have faith, I want you to know that you please God. You please Him. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He sees the faith that's at work in your life and your heart, and He says, I love you. I'm pleased with you. I know that you're lifting your eyes above yourself to look at me and what I have for you, which is just in and of itself is awesome. But one of the things about faith is we must move from receiving faith and having it into walking by faith and living in it and applying faith on a day-by-day basis. And that's the challenge right there. I remember this old, funny, hilarious movie with Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss called What About Bob? Hilarious movie. And Richard Dreyfuss was the psychologist named Dr. Marvin, and Bill Murray was Bob, and he went in and had an appointment with them. And Richard Dreyfuss, Dr. Marvin, brings a book out called Baby Steps. And that became a big theme of that movie, a funny part of that movie. But when I think about faith, faith is much like that. It's just taking little bitty steps at a time. And I distinctly remember a time early in my faith journey. Now, I'm a first generation Christian. I did not grow up in church. I was not a choir guy. I didn't care about it. I didn't really believe in it. And yet God met with me and He began to call me into a journey of faith. And I began to go into full-time ministry. I had no salary. I had no benefits. I just knew that I was following God and doing His will and for my life. And so there was this time when I realized I need a new car. My car was junk. It was just ripping at the back seat of it. The fuzz was coming out and getting on my shirt, and I'd have to wipe it off, and had oil leaks. It was very embarrassing. It wasn't very cool. It wasn't not, I mean, I was definitely never one of those kind of pastors that was looking good and acting good and whatever. I was raw and just hungry for God, but didn't seem like things were going my way. And so I would pray to God about a car, but it just seemed like such a big leap when my basic needs and essentials weren't even met either. And so it was that time that it was like God just spoke to my heart and He said, why are you asking me for a car when you've never asked me for a pair of socks? And that's a true story. That's what came to me. And so I wrote down 10 things that I needed, and I needed now. I wrote them down and I began to pray over them. And then it was interesting because all of a sudden my prayers were switched to words of declaration that my God supplies all my needs, and God's going to give me socks and a shirt and a coat and a jacket. And God one day is even going to give me a car. And do you know, within a matter of months, miracle after miracle, not really a miracle, but a way that God spoke to me and gave me a token and showed me that He's with me was when my roommate, I was a single man, I was yet to be married, and my roommate actually brought me a bag from a department store, and he said, here, I just wanted to bless you. He didn't know how I was praying. He didn't know what I was thinking. Maybe he saw that I had ratted up stuff and he felt sorry for me. I don't know, but I never told anyone, not any man or woman or even my mother. I never shared my needs with them, but I felt like part of faith is that I go to God and He proves Himself faithful. And that really is the beginning of faith journey for so many of us. And that's how I started out. And the second thing you need to know is that your faith can increase. Just think about what the disciples said to Jesus in Luke 17, verse 5. They said, the apostles said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And Jesus said, look, if you've got a little bitty faith the size of a mustard seed, that's where you don't muster up faith. That little bitty seed is already in you. But when it's in you and you don't focus on faith itself, but you focus on the object of your faith, who is Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, when you focus on Him, then your faith grows. And that's what Jesus is saying to His disciples when He said, when you have that little bitty faith, you speak to a tree and it can be uprooted and planted into the sea. Now, you know, there's no tree growing out of the sea. Jesus was giving his disciples the impossible, saying, your faith can't do that, but God can do that. God can do anything. God can do all things. All things are possible then to those who believe in God. Our faith grows as we get to know Jesus. As we're knowing God, which is a fundamental value of what we are all about in Every Nation New York City. It's knowing God and growing together and discovering purpose and making a difference. But that knowing God is critically important to have faith growing in your life. You know, as we're walking with God and our faith is growing, then all of a sudden we recognize that God uses circumstances to make us dependent on God. God uses certain things. And then what happens is instead of facing circumstances with discouragement, which is always possible for any of us, we choose a different path and we go the way of faith. Now, imagine that Peter went to Jesus. Peter was in the boat. Jesus was walking on the water. And what did Peter say to Jesus? He said, Lord, ask me to come with you to walk on water. Now, we know what happened. Peter was allowed to walk on water and meet Jesus out on the water. And the reality in that moment is that he began to focus on the winds and the waves and he began to go under. And a lot of people say, look, Peter didn't have any faith. Oh, yes, he did have faith. He was the only one to get out of his boat. And that's been a little bit of my journey. I've had many faith failures, but at least I'm out on the water watching God even sustain me for 1 minute. I know that he's there. I know he's available. And as long as we keep our eyes on him, he will sustain us and we too shall prevail. God uses circumstances that sometimes we don't like and we don't appreciate. I think of the eagle, the American eagle that builds a nest, and that eagle begins in building the nest with twigs and prickles and rocks and things that are very uncomfortable. But then on top of it, before the eagle has the baby chicks on top and the eggs, on top of it, there's feathers and soft things. It's like a bad mattress that you know if you lay on it the wrong way, it's going to poke you and you need a new mattress. Well, what happens is those chicks begin to grow up and begin to get heavier. Then all of the sudden, that pain and those prickly sticks begin to poke it. And that's the sign where that young chick realizes, I've got to get out of the nest. And many of you right now are being stirred to get out of your nest. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of that place. Oh, it felt so nice at first, but my faith is challenging right now. I get that. I have lived with my back against the wall, believing God for one thing after the next, trusting him, relying upon him, not relying upon American Express, MasterCard, Visa, Discovery, or whatever, but relying and dependent upon the living God who has over and over again proven himself faithful to me. And I want to declare that God's going to prove himself faithful to you because your faith is rising. We're so grateful for that. There is a very important scripture in Romans 10, 17 that is really an important verse on increasing our faith. It reads this, so faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. Now there are two Greek words for word. One is logos or logos, which is the Greek word for the eternal word of God or the written word of God, the thought of God, the idea of God, and the Son of God himself. That's the logos. But the rhema word is more of a now word. It's applied to us right here and right now. And those two work together in the scheme of God. But there are certain things that are very specific to us that are not written in the Word of God. It's generally that God will provide for me, but we don't know how. But there are sometimes specific words from God. I want to just say to you right now, for some reason, I'm really feeling this, even though this is a recorded message, of course, I'm feeling this very strongly for you, that God knows your situation. God knows where you are, and God knows his way out for you, your way out. God knows what it is, and he wants to give it to you and impart it to you, and it could be an uncomfortable step of faith, but it's okay. Some of you are going to walk into the quote-unquote proverbial Zoom office of your boss, and you're going to say, it's time for a raise. As some people are going to say, it's time to ask someone out for a coffee. You know what I'm talking about. There are some nudges that go on in our life that we need to be sensitive to. I know that there have been times when God told me to pray for one of my family members, and when I was obedient, I could then begin to see why God would want to alert me. There are so many things that are really important, but the thing to remember about the Rhema and the Logos is those two never disagree. Never, ever, ever disagree. And if you can you imagine if somebody like me said, hey, God told me that it's okay to divorce my wife and marry somebody else. That's not okay, because the eternal Logos of the Word of God will trump that Rhema word that you think. It's not a real Rhema, it's a false Rhema. So it's really important that we measure our Rhema words that we're sensing from God in a community of faith. And when you bounce things off, hey, I'm sensing that God is leading me this way. What do you think? And then you go to Scripture and you analyze that together. This is all part of developing and growing your faith. And remember that baby list that I had, those baby steps with socks and all that? And not only did I get the socks and the shirts and all that stuff, but God provided a car for me. And it was my first car provision. And you know, I've had several car provisions. People have wanted to give me their cars several times. And it's just been a blessing of God's provision in my life. And not only do we receive things, but also we pass them off and we give them away as well. My third point is that for your faith to rise, you have to use it. So this point is really about activation. And now remember, your faith is in Jesus and not in the quantity or the size of your faith. It's not faith in faith. It's faith in Christ. It's faith in God. And that's really important to remember, because some people reduce faith to a formula. Faith is not a formula. It's a person. It's a person named Jesus. And Jesus, who is risen from the dead, is rising you up as well. There's a story of a woman with the issue of blood that maybe you're familiar with. She was bleeding all the time, and she spent 12 years on medicine and she could not improve. I'm going to read this passage. It's a little bit long, not too long, but bear in this with me. And if you have a Bible, look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34, and read this with me. If you have a second to pull out your Bible, maybe pause this recording if you want to. Look at it with me, because in the hearing of the Word of God, faith rises. And this is really critically important to us, that we go back and read Scripture. Why? So we can be inspired? Yes, but that's not the end of it. That we can get hope? Yes, but that's not the end of it. It's that we can receive a word from God that we can live on and act on. Here's the woman with the issue of blood. There was a woman who had discharge of blood for 12 years. By the way, we're in Mark 5, 25 to 34. She had suffered much under many physicians, spent all that she had, and she did not grow better, but rather worse. And she heard, look at this, and this is the first thing that happens with faith. She heard something. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. She heard the reports about Jesus. Now see, that in and of itself, hearing that Jesus was the healer, hearing that Jesus was declaring the kingdom of God, hearing that Jesus cast out demons, hearing that Jesus did all these supernatural things, fed the 5,000 with the little boy's lunch. Jesus, that's what caused me, when I was 18 years of age, read the Bible for the first time in my life, and I was reading certain things about Jesus, and all of a sudden I had faith. I had no idea where it came from, and I know now it came from God, because the Word of God is life-giving and powerful, and it really creates faith inside of us. Now, we must nurture that. We must activate it. Now, look what this woman did next after she heard the reports about Jesus. The second thing, she went through the crowd. She did something that the Old Testament priests would tell you that it is against the law for a woman who had bleeding, an issue of blood, to even go out in public, much less go up and touch a rabbi on the hem of his garment. That is faith at work. Faith sometimes is a deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at any given time. And she was led, she was compelled to do certain things. There were years ago, I was compelled to go to China by Jesus Christ. 19 years ago, I was compelled to go to New York City and preach the gospel. So many moments, sometimes just on a train or a subway, I'm compelled to talk to someone, at least be kind to someone, to see if that might open up. And my little daughters and my wife will tell you many times in Ubers and taxis, I'm compelled to talk to the very driver. But this is just my life. Your life might be different. You might be compelled to pray for someone. The most important thing is we act on our faith. Faith without works is dead. This woman acted, and look at what it says in verse 28. She said, if I just touch his garments, I will be made well. She was saying something. You see, faith that is prayers that doesn't go to speaking is just hope. It's a hope. But when you begin to speak your words, the word that you're believing for, you're speaking, you're confessing it, you're standing on a promise of God, you're relentless about it, you're not letting go, you are speaking the word over and over and over again. My God shall do this. My God is honoring his logos, and I have a rhema. And those are aligning right now. The logos, the eternal word, combined with the word that's fresh in my heart. And that woman came through the crowd, grabbed a hold of Jesus, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. See, the fourth thing is not just her hearing, not just her acting, not just her confession of her faith, what she was believing for, but she then received it from Jesus. And that anointing flowed through Jesus. Her disease was gone. And I want you to see this, that Jesus then said these words in verse 34, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed." You see, it's be done unto you. This is very personalized information here. Jesus said, it's unto you, and that your faith has made you well. Jesus could have said, the sovereignty of God made you well. He could have said, I made you well. But he said, your faith partnered with the eternal Godhead, the triune God, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit at that split second of time moved. And you have no idea how many times you have to say, believe, or overcome. But that moment in time where your faith is aligned with the eternal will of God, and bam, it happens. You're healed. You're delivered. You're on a new path. You're on a new trajectory. You're having faith for God to say, I want to be a Jesus follower. Just that moment. I need to be baptized. That's a baby step. I need to get in community. That's a baby step. I need to walk in favor. I need to share the gospel. All these are critically important baby steps in our life. And I know that I've had many of these moments in my own life. But the most important thing, I want you to listen to this, because God wants you to fight back and own your own faith. He does. My daughters were going through night after night and week after week with canker sores in their mouth. And they complained to me and sometimes cried about it. And they couldn't even eat. And I said, you need to brush more. You need to rinse more, whatever. And then they kept complaining. And I finally said, girls, unless you own this and fight it, you'll never get well. And I pulled out hydrogen peroxide. I pulled out salt. I said, gargle with this, water down the hydrogen peroxide. All that. And that was a critical moment for them to learn that. And you know what happened? After a while, they got the point. Daddy says, we have to fight it back. We have to own it. He can't do it for us. And that's what happened. One night I went up there and I saw the salt shaker in their little bathroom. I saw the salt shaker and I saw every little trick of the trade that I showed them. There it was right there. This stuff that you're allowed to put in your mouth. And all of a sudden, it's totally been gone. They've never complained about it since. They're totally healed. But why? Because they fought back. Don't accept is as is, all right? I am sick. I am defeated. I am upset. I am mad. I am jealous. I am angry. You have to fight back, and there's nothing better, and Jesus taught us this when he was tempted by Satan. There's nothing more powerful than to fight back with the word of God, whatever God has eternally said, even though we don't feel it, even though we don't see it. This is all how faith works. Faith is borrowing information and identity from the world that is not seen, meaning the kingdom of God. It's drawing from that into your present tense moment in this world, and watch what God will manifest to those who operate in and stay in faith. And God gives us these rhema things all the way along our journey in so many unusual ways. One time I actually really truly felt like quitting being a pastor. I was sick. I was done. I was just defeated. I was a very young man, and I really didn't have the skill and the certainty and the assurance that I have now. And all of a sudden, I was praying about this. God, I'm thinking about going to law school. What do you think, God? And I'm just done with this other thing. I need a way out of this. And all of a sudden, I was down getting, remember the hard mail when you go to your mailbox and you look forward to someone writing you, not your email, but the mailbox. I was at the mailbox and there was a advertisement for something. And on the other side, for some reason, had three big words and the other side. And that became a rhema moment for me. Those three words were, do not quit. And I knew then that God was speaking to me through a different advertising card. I don't even remember what it was for, but he used that to get me up and compel me to move forward. I want to share a last thought with you about faith. Faith must be fought for. 1 Timothy 6:12 says to fight the good fight of faith. Do you know what makes faith so good? Is that faith is good when you're in a fight of faith. When you're in a fight of faith, what makes it good? It's a fight you're going to win when you operate in faith. When you keep your faith. Now, there are those that get shipwrecked because they don't get what they want. But we have to accept that that's a part of faith, too, is that God ultimately knows better than we know for ourselves. We don't get everything we want because we're not God. We get everything God wants to have because we're followers of God and we love His will and we love to receive. And there are those moments that we just can't comprehend what God is doing. Sometimes we need help from others. Like in Mark chapter 2, where Jesus, there was a man who was an invalid. He couldn't walk. And Jesus commended these four friends of this guy who put him on a cot and broke him in through, in Caesarea, he broke him in through a roof of probably either Jesus' home or Peter's mother's home. Our mother-in-law's home, and broke this guy in through the roof. Jesus healed him. And it says these key words, Jesus seeing their faith. You see, Jesus sees you when you're operating in faith. And complaining really doesn't get us anywhere. I'm not upset at you for complaining. I'm not mad at you for complaining. I'm not mad at my wife for complaining. I'm not mad at myself for complaining. That's a human response. But we can't stay in complaining. We have to go back to faith. And the laws of faith are at work when we align ourselves with the Word of God, the Logos of God, and the Rhema of God, and we operate in claiming and receiving and standing upon the very Word that God's giving us. That is fighting the good fight of faith. Lynette and I have seen this time and time and time and time again. We've seen God move in people's lives. And here we are, and you know, just a final moment here of just pondering. Here we are as people who often are waiting on God. And it does say in Hebrews 6:12 that it's through faith and patience that we inherit the kingdom, inherit the promises of God. And that's sometimes what we don't like. I remember coming into New York City after 9/11, and man, the whole city was just so oppressed and so down. I think in many ways, much like where it's been lately, according to information from how many people have left the city and information on the American ethos right now, about one third of every Americans are admitting, it's not necessarily clinical, but they're admitting to depression and a downness. And the scripture does say that sometimes we have to be patient, but patience does not mean a drag. Patience means you're still activating your faith. You're believing God. And what's going to happen is that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And without this faith, we can't even please Him. So with faith, we do please Him. And I have utmost confidence that God is pleased with you. I want to just look you in your eye. God is pleased with you. He loves you and He's given you what it takes to overcome. Even the shield of faith that's able to extinguish every lie and every fiery dart of the devil, God's faith is in you and with you. Now it's time to activate it, grow it, increase it, develop, use that faith to fight the good fight and overcome. I'm convinced with all of my heart that faith is rising in every nation, New York City, in all of our sites, that faith is rising. And when faith rises, nothing can stop it. Don't give up. Do not quit. Hang in there. God's got a rhema word for you, and it's coming. Let your eyes look at the Lord and be at rest. Look in the world, be depressed, but look at the Lord and you will be at rest. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this day for rising in every area of our life. I just want to say rising in our heart, rising in our joy, rising in our peace, rising in our relationships, rising financially, rising with hope, rising with healing. All these scriptures, Lord, I pray that we will be owning these this season and that we will be preparing our hearts for your next move in our lives and through this church. And we trust you for this day in Jesus' mighty name, amen. And I want to say to those of you who have yet to meet Jesus, this is a great moment. Through this moment of time right now, The scripture says, now is the day of salvation. Think about that. Today is your day of salvation, where God's Son comes to take up dwelling in your human heart and changes everything. And that's what faith is all about. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.